You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube. Everyone, welcome to the Chaotic Goodcast, our weekly geeky roundtable. I'm your host, Doug Shute, and with me are my fellow casters, Rob Kalajian from a Pond's Perspective.
98 Degrees is probably one of the smartest boy bands.
Right, Rob, coming on hot, already 1 point on the board. Great job. Ben Higgins from Quarterstaff Games.
Everybody, it's time to rock your body tonight.
Artist, author, illustrator of story comic, Barney Smith.
I don't get a pun, but I get, so why are elevator jokes so classic and good?
No, Barney.
They work on many levels.
Oh. And Barney's minus 1 point out of the eight this evening.
No.
And of course, our geek of the North, Jason Hunt.
What book tells you everything you need to know about a boy band? An encyclopedia.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yikes.
It was better.
Game designer of Battle of the Boy Bands, Cleo Yunsu Davis.
Well, now I feel like I want to compete, but I have nothing as good as that. Except for, I'm glad to be here, and you know I want it that way.
Oh, yes. Well done.
And of course, Banana Chan from Game and a Curry.
I am ready for this digital get down. That's a song by NSYNC, by the way, if you don't know.
All right. I'll accept it. So as you can tell, this week we're all about the boy bands. And if you are curious about Battle of the Boy Bands from Game and a Curry, it is currently on Kickstarter right now. It is doing rather well. You've got over $10,000 in funding, which is well above your target goal. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to talk all about Battle of the Boy Bands during our featured content, but let me explain the rules of this episode, because this is episode 50 of the Chaotic Goodcast, and as you can see, we're all about the boy band puns, and we're going to be having an ongoing competition throughout this episode to see who can create the most boy band puns throughout this episode. And the winner, I don't know what we're going to award the winner, but I'll think of something by the time this episode is over. So let's get to our first segment of New at the Store. Ben, take it away.
Oh my God, we're back again. this week at the store, a lot of states are kind of starting to reopen. So we're going to start seeing a lot more products kind of rolling in. The two items I wanted to highlight this week, we've got a fun little family game from Blue Orange. It's Save the Dragon. This is a kind of a spatial relation kind of style game. On your turn, you roll some dice, which will then determine whether or not you move your pawn up the staircase, trying to reach the dragon at the top of the stairs, which you're trying to free. You can either move a shield around on different points that are on the game board, or you can move a door. The door will block players from finally getting in to save the dragon at the top. Or you can roll a great little plastic boulder down the stairs, hopefully knocking over your opponents and sending them back to the bottom of the staircase. It's just a fun little game. Every time you get hit and knocked down, you get some coins, some currency, which will allow you to kind of jump ahead later on in the game. So when you are knocked back, there is a little catch-up mechanic. It's a game that's designed for younger kids. It's 5+. It doesn't take too long to play, so you can add it together and re-rack very quickly. I got a chance to try this at Gamma, and it just hit stores through our distributors this week. So a great, great little fun game for your younger kids in your gaming groups.
Very cool. I had not seen that at Gamma, by the way. I must have missed that.
Yeah, no, it's it sets right up. It's a full 3D staircase that comes down. It's got great table presence for your younger gamers. So, definitely check it out.
I always miss stuff like that. That's the story of my life.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just gonna put this out there right now. I'm gonna lose the heck out of this, but I'm gonna enjoy the heck out of it at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's gonna be me too.
And then kind of the second product to highlight is actually a whole product line. This is the Ikoria Lair of Behemoths release for Magic the Gathering. This is one they've had a very large Godzilla tie-in, alt art and alt versions of cards with the Godzilla art and everything on these. And there was a lot of big news at the beginning of this week when they actually banned quite a few a good handful anyway of the cards mere days after they'd been out. They've been kind of worried about some of these mechanics impacting some of the older formats, the Legacy and Vintage specifically, quite negatively. So they just jumped out ahead of it and banned two of the cards, Luris of the Dream Den and Virda the Dawn Waker.
You would think that they would catch these things earlier in like the set's development.
Yeah, that's, I mean, when you give things to a community, it's very easy for them to quickly find flaws and stuff like that, because that's sort of just what the community does. They try to break your game. But you'd think at this stage of Wizards development that they would be, when they're making these cards, looking at them saying, well, that's clearly going to break the game.
Right. I think what's interesting is that both these cards were banned in the quote-unquote eternal formats, the formats where essentially the entire lifespan of the game is legal to play, but it wasn't banned in the standard or the modern format, which are more restrictive. So, you know, the power level of the cards is good for like maybe 80% of the gameplay, but in those older formats, just some of the ways the rules interact with them just completely tweaks the entire balance of the format. So yeah, it's it, and I don't think they test those older formats quite if at all. I don't think they
they probably at that point are just like, we're throwing it out there, whatever happens happens.
Yep.
Fix it in post.
Cleo, were you a have you ever played Magic, or you dabble in the MTG at all?
It's funny because I played it casually growing up the way that like a lot of people do, but then I had a minor in game design in undergrad.
Right.
And I think I wrote like academic papers on Magic.
Really?
So my relationship to it seems very academic and school related to me.
That's very cool.
But yeah, I haven't I've taken a look at some of the more recent stuff, but I'm not like up to date really.
Yeah, I've dabbled in Magic probably 10 years ago, but I just can't do it. It's just such an investment. It's so crazy to stay in that community and just be, you know,
staying relevant with that game is an investment of time and money.
I've been playing Arena, which I like at least because I can just hop on and play. I do want some of those Godzilla cards though.
I'll send you a couple, Rob. I've got a few kicking around that aren't really worth anything that I can ship down to you.
By the way,
sending them though is really just it's a one direction. You don't have to.
We don't have to be in sync.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Some of these. See, I'm only drinking root beer right now, but I might have to switch.
Yeah, you guys gotta quit playing games.
Oh,
especially with my heart.
Oh, you guys see the Hasbro My Little Pony collaborations that they're putting out? So
I did see that. Yeah,
there's a box set of D&D My Little Ponies. They're the old style ponies, and then there is a single pack Ghostbuster pony. And its name is something to do with ectoplasm, and it's got a kind of a jumpsuit colored horse with the Ghostbusters logo as the cutie.
Oh, like the jumpsuit brown.
Yeah, it's like a jumpsuit brown That's horse cool. with a Ghostbuster cutie mark.
They're also doing an Optimus Prime My Little Pony.
Oh, okay. So I definitely need the D&D ones, and I definitely need the Optimus Prime one then. So, that's pretty badass.
I love that, you know, they're just taking that My Little Pony property and mashing it with everything, because, you know.
Mashing is a sensitive word for milking.
Go ahead. When you've got these two IPs that just work so well together, and you do put them together, it's the right stuff. That's what you're working with.
Yeah.
Ben's coming in hot.
At least they're willing to travel in more than just one direction.
He's circling back around. So this is going to be my problem the whole episode. Every time somebody opens their mouth, I'm going to be like typing it into Google. Is that a song name? Is that some sort of pun? I don't know.
Banana and Cleo, you know, when I came up with this idea, it sounded really good at the time. It sounded good.
Now it's just going to be the undercurrent that derails the whole podcast.
It's going to be complete like that. And I know Doug's, you know, and specifically, you know, I'd like it. I'd want it that way. But
I was just going to say that and beat me to it.
All right. Oh, man. Ben,
tell
is it
why, Barney?
Is that the end of new at the store?
I mean,
can we say bye 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 to it?
Oh, you beat me. You beat me.
Ah, he's completely inconsolable right now. Oh. All right, we beat this.
All right, let's get to the pop culture corner brought to you by storycomic.com. Barney, what do we have in the pop culture corner this week?
So a lot of news dropped for the for HBO Max has been sending out a list of their 700 plus titles that's going to be coming out on that. And I would honestly say this is something that is this is way bigger than we're going to see. This is going to be holding a lot more ground than Disney Plus, because HBO has DC Universe, it has all the DC stuff, it has all of the Criterion collection that is everything that our parents or grandparents watch.
Hey, some of these I watch.
Oh no,
I definitely watch the Criterion Collection.
I love the Criterion Collection.
Call me a grandpa.
I just finished watching Andy Griffith, so yeah, I'm fine. and all of the stuff, like a lot of the 80s and the 90s, a lot of our favorite movies and television shows are connected to this. So this is going to be a big disruptor for what we're going to see in streaming services over the summer, especially with everybody pretty much staying at home.
Are they going to have exclusives to these titles? Do you know?
They are going to end up. So my only concern though is I don't know what they're going to do with DC Universe, if they're going to roll this into DC Universe, because that's all owned. All of the things that you'd have on DC Universe, you're going to be able to have on HBO Max.
Yeah, so, like they're going to have, that means they're going to have access to all the Batman movies, which means Netflix mm-hmm. will lose those.
Yeah, you're going to start seeing that. And this is what we talked about, I don't know, several months ago, is that Netflix is increasingly not been getting on movies and IPs that belong to other studios. That's why their originals, the Netflix originals is huge.
They're pushing that hard now. Yeah. They lose all the Lord of the Rings stuff then, and they've already got Miyazaki stuff, I think, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, but you think about it, all of our favorite, you know, all of those defining movies that we knew from the 80s, like, you know, it's Die Hard, Pet Sematary, Lethal Weapon.
All those famous Christmas movies.
Would you say, like, what about like Bad Boys?
Bad Boys is on, what did I just say? They do have Hobbs and Shaw, so all of that stuff.
No, that's a different genre. That's Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. They all that all mixes in together.
Don't you start.
So I think we're gonna see a lot more press on HBO Max coming out, and I think it, and I do feel a little bit bad for Peacock, because that seems to be being overshadowed a bit by what HBO is.
I've heard so little about it that I've honestly forgotten completely about that whole
thing. I forgot about Peacock until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, they're not going to have a lot compared to what the other series are going to be, what the other streaming services are going to be doing. One news that, and I think probably Ben can jump in on this too, is that we kind of posted it earlier about the new Star Wars Disney Plus show that they've kind of hint that they've mentioned the and I just started watching because you guys kept talking about it, the Clone Wars. So it does pick up after season one, right? Because
yes,
I watched them.
It just continually gets better through the entire series.
Okay,
yes, it does.
Now the new series is that's the one that we've talked about previously, right? With the female cast,
Ahsoka. Ahsoka, is that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're gonna have an Ahsoka series.
Yeah.
Are you guys Cleo Banana? Are you guys Star Wars fans? Are you excited for more Star Wars content?
I feel like I'm a little bit saturated in Star Wars content at this point. Like, I haven't even seen the most recent movie yet because I keep saying, like, I need to be in the right mood for it.
Well, there will not be an expansion to this Kickstarter called Boy Bands of Tatooine.
I mean, that would be a highly specific crossover, but I'd be into it.
It would be hilarious, though.
Touring Tatooine just sounds very depressing.
It does. Yeah.
When you have a sandbar near you.
The classic boy band, right? There's sci-fi boys in the game. It makes sense.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Or
futuristic boys, yeah.
They're the original.
Yep.
They are. I didn't even think about that.
And the other news is that we just saw they released, was it today, Ben? I saw that it was the trailer for season two of Umbrella Academy.
I know.
The trailer was fantastic.
Yes, it's like in, I think it's July.
July 31st.
Yes, my birthday. And everybody, so I'm proud to say that, you know, July 31st, my birthday, I share it with somebody very famous, Harry Potter. The character, not the actor, not Daniel Radcliffe. Potter's birthday is on July 31st.
Wow, that's trivia that I didn't know before this podcast. Yeah,
that's why his birthday was always in the summertime, in between schools.
Oh yeah, when he was off on
he was off. School, yeah.
Banana, and, are you like the Umbrella Academy series?
Umbrella Academy, yes.
Yeah.
Star Wars, no, but I do really like the KOTOR series.
I've never played those.
KOTOR 2 Rob. Is the best.
The only real Star Wars games I ever played were it was like Super Empire Strikes Back, Super Return of the Jedi, and I played the two the Force Unleashed games?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, yeah.
And that was that's really. Oh, and I played the old one in the arcade, the X-Wing one. Where you sat down.
Yeah.
I played the poop out of the Star Wars: The Old Republic, the MMO. I played that for that was super fun. If you guys haven't played that yet,
That was a while ago.
It's still out, and it's
still being played.
Still going.
Is it still being? Going. Is it really?
Yeah.
I have a couple of my buddies play it regularly, and they rave about it still.
Yeah.
I mean, not the graphics or anything like that, because it's pretty ancient for graphics now, but
sure.
The immersion into the universe, if you get in with a good group of folks, is really very cool.
It's been super well regarded, and they've done a good job keeping it up. It's one of those MMOs that just really surpassed and is larger than life now.
Write it down.
It was funny when I played that, it was my IRL buddies that were playing it wanted to play Sith, so I had to play a Sith, and I kept making all the right I made all the decisions where I couldn't use red lightsabers anymore. No one could use like blue or green, so every time there was a battlegrounds and all these like, you know, lightsabers turn on and like the fighting, and then everybody's all these red lightsabers beam on, and mine's like a blue one, and people start typing at me, who the
heck is this guy?
I'm like, no, it's cool, man. I just have a just moral compass, but I'm still one of you guys.
Oh man.
But yeah, so that's what I had there was the Umbrella Academy, HBO Max, and
seemed like it was kind of a slow week for pop culture this last week.
There are some good stuff. There are some things that are happening with the CW. There's a lot of news on
the hurry up and wait situation right now on what's happening with shows in the fall, because everything's suspended and nobody's not quite sure what's going to be happening. So
there was one movie that was released last Friday, and it was direct to home streaming, and that was the Scoob movie. And did anybody see this movie?
I saw it.
Did you see the movie?
As soon as I found out Matthew Lillard was no longer the voice of Shaggy, I was out.
Banana, what did you think of the Scoob movie? Because I'm hearing some very interesting reports on this movie.
I liked it until the middle.
You liked it until the middle?
It was very, the first half was fun.
Right, yep.
It was very fun. And obviously, being a big Scooby-Doo fan, I was like inclined to watch it. But then something happens in the middle and it just gets
weird.
Yeah. The jokes were great. They were like, you know, very millennial.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if the Gen Zers would get it, but like the jokes were there.
I'm hearing that it's not quite a typical Scooby-Doo movie. Like, it's not like what we grew up on, and by me, I mean me and Barney, since we're like the old, you know.
Hey, I grew up on Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah, that's right. Did we all grow up on Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am
the oldest person here.
Yeah, but Jason, you're young at heart.
Well, but to be clear though, just to be clear though, Doug, because we were Gen Xers, we technically grew up on Scrappy-Doo because that came out in 1984. Oh,
that's right.
Sorry, I got some strong opinions about Scrappy.
So I'm hearing that this movie is
Scrappy
not
to eat it, man.
Not like those typical episodes that we used to just love watching for a TV show. Is that true?
It's a mishmash.
Is it?
It's a mishmash of a whole, yeah. There are a whole lot of, I think there are like two other IPs that are mixed together. So
yeah,
the crossover movie. It's a crossover movie. So if you're into Scooby-Doo and you don't really know the others, it's not really worth it.
No, yeah. It seems like they wanted to hop on like certain waves of popularity with this movie. And I don't want to say too much about it because I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are excited for this movie, and there's probably folks that are going to go seeing it. But like, I was kind of
excited to see that, like, on the poster, I think in the first trailer, they had Falcon and Dynamutt, and I'm like, oh, cool. It's going to be like an old Scooby-Doo, you know, episode where they used to bring in the other characters.
Yeah.
But it was still Scooby-Doo. Yeah, like Batman, like the Harlem Globetrotters, Falcon and Dynamutt. But then when I heard that this isn't really much of a Scooby movie, I was kind of bummed.
Well, let me ask then, Bananas. Does it look like they're trying to create, because everybody's doing shared universes now, are they trying to create a Hanna-Barbera universe where they start and kind of introduce? Because if you think about it, Hanna-Barbera was the first one to start doing these shared universes back in the 70s with the Laugh Olympics.
Yep.
Like, they've been doing that for a long time. I don't know if they're just trying to reboot the Hanna-Barbera-verse.
I think they're trying really hard to do it, like sort of emulate the same thing, but it's not hitting home.
Yeah. Everyone else is doing it, so why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing now. Yeah. Crossovers, multi-marketing.
Well, that's the thing with it. Like with Marvel, they kind of slowly did it, you know, just step by step.
Damn it, that's my reference I had written down.
But yeah, it's something you can't really force. It has to, I mean, you can plan it, but it has to feel organic. It's not something you can,
unlike these boy band puns.
Hey, when I go in, it's all or nothing. So that's another one.
Yeah.
That was right. Larger than life.
I give up. Just give the award to Ben. He's going to win.
Yeah, that's all I have to give. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think we should just bop this segment.
I had that one down.
Well, I stole it from you because you stole that last one from me. Fair. So. Let's get to our featured segment, which of course is Battle of the Boy Bands. This is where we're going to talk about all the whole process of this game. And I'm going to tell everyone that that we actually, here at VCG, we actually got an inside look at this game at Granicon. So if anybody's listening to this and you were at Granicon last year, you actually get to play this in the VCG Gaming Lounge, which was awesome. We heard some really great things. Again, thank you, Cleo and Banana, for coming on and being a part of this this show this week. Do you want to formally introduce yourselves? This, you know, you've been on the show pretty much the whole time, but why don't you just introduce yourself so everybody knows a little bit more about you. Cleo, I'll let you go first.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm Cleo. I'm one of the co-designers of Battle of the Boy Bands. I feel like I've been working on it for my entire life now. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a few years. And yeah, I'm really excited that it's on Kickstarter now. It's essentially what it sounds like, a game in which you are building boy bands and making them compete. And then Banana is publishing it, which I'm really happy about.
Yay. Yeah, so I'm Banana, and I own the publishing company Game in a Curry. And I believe Cleo and I met at a convention.
I think we met at Dreamation.
Dreamation like 4 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, and that's how we met. And then we started talking about Battle of the Boy Bands. And then I don't know, one thing led to another, and now we're publishing it. So yeah,
that's really awesome. Excited for it. Well, congratulations on the success. This is the first Kickstarter for Game in a Curry, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, this is our first Kickstarter, but our fourth game.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we're going to be publishing this. Hopefully, if everything goes well with the manufacturers, we should have everything out to everyone by November.
Very cool. That's a very, very short turnaround time, which is nice.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Seems like you pretty much got the bulk of this game pretty well all set to go. Like I said, you've been playtesting it for quite some time. Cleo, my question for you is Battle of the Boy Bands, an interesting, I don't think I've ever heard of a game that involves boy bands. Like this is something, has this game always been about boy bands?
Yeah,
it has. Okay.
It has. And it's funny because people have been asking about the design process and if the narrative came first or the flavor kind of came first or mechanics. And it was one of the rare instances in which both just kind of totally came hand in hand. It was literally a shower idea.
Okay.
So usually for me, it's oh, I have a really cool mechanic. Let's see what I can what narrative would work with this. Right. Or oh, I really want to make a game about such and such subject, but this was one of those rare moments where both just came at once.
Very cool. So you said that you've been working on this for quite some time, for quite a few years. You want to tell folks a little bit about, it's a three-player game. It's three to five players, is that correct?
Three to six.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't read my writing, to be honest.
No, he doesn't write anything down.
Come on. You want to tell us a little bit about how this game works and how you win and the whole point of the game, to be honest?
Yeah. So it's 3 to 6 players, ages 13 and up roughly. And basically everybody is taking on the role of a music producer in the very ruthless cutthroat pop music industry. And you're building boy bands and making them compete with the other players' boy bands. It's very sabotage heavy. There's a lot of trying to wreck your friends' boy bands and ruin their careers.
Scandal and Teen Beat.
Say there's a lot of Take That.
Yeah, it's very much a Take That game. And it's also a drafting game. So you're drafting boys and perks and different little things. You have breaking news cards, which you can attach to your various boys in your group for extra points, and also in that deck there's cards you can use to attack, and there's also cards that you can use to defend, including one of my favorite cards, which is the Momager card.
Nice. I love that,
because you can't have teenagers in the entertainment industry without a Momager card. I feel
everybody has a Momager in the background.
Yep. You're competing in special events that are themed so that different boys will have different abilities to score points per round. And every boy has an image type. So that's something they're youthful or rebellious. And those are the boys that are always in style, because that's classic, right? No one's going to get sick of the rebellious and youthful boys. But then you get a little bit weirder in the middle with like supernatural and futuristic boys. Because, you know, they have the hardcore fans, but they're a little bit more of a niche thing, phenomenon, right?
Niche. <Sure. laughs>
Yeah. And then sadly, at the bottom of the boy band hierarchy, you have the emo boys. And they're at the bottom because emo is sadly a dying genre.
So you must be a big boy band fan, I'm guessing. To make a game out of boy bands, I'm going to assume that you must love the boy band.
So it's funny, because like, I didn't grow up loving boy bands. Like, I was definitely surrounded by them at all times as a child of the 90s.
Sure.
But I wasn't a hardcore boy band fan back then. I was like very into Spice Girls, though. But then I think starting in college, I got really into K-pop. Okay. And I grew up listening to K-pop too, but it was a very different situation back then than it is now. And this game is actually like very, very much K-pop inspired in a lot of ways. And so there you can see it's supposed to be integrating, you know, bands that are from the UK, from the US, things that we know from the 90s, but it's also integrating a lot of themes and content from the kind of K-pop, like the huge K-pop wave, basically, that's taking sure. over the entire world.
Yeah, it's extremely popular. Now let's talk a little bit about the art that this game has, because you have really great artists on, or some great. I mean, you can see if you're listening to the audio podcast, you're not seeing this wonderful backgrounds that Game and Akuri had published this actually this morning. I think it's when they put them out, but we've got Rob and I have them in our webcams.
So is Jason.
Wow.
Oh, look, Jason.
He's just ignoring me. Yeah,
I'm not even looking at Jason. But let's talk.
Tell me why, Doug.
Oh,
there you go. That's my one point.
Yay. There you go. Hey. Who's the artist that has been working on this project?
Yes, our illustrator is Renmu, and you can find her, like, she's on our Kickstarter, but I think her Twitter is Renmiou. Yes. She's like, she's been great, because we gave her, like, I wrote up a big document that had like all these reference photos, and like, I want the outfit like this and the hair of this person and the face of this person, and she just totally ran with it and made it like very over the top, which obviously this game is. And she's just been like a joy to work with, and people have been, I mean, you should see the prototype of this game. It's like my terrible drawings on index cards. And like every game starts, it's like with terrible index card prototypes pretty much, right? But like for me, I have in the head like that image of those boys as they used to be from my terrible hand back in the old days burned into my mind next to like this beautiful art that our illustrator came up with. And the contrast is just hilarious to me now.
It's awesome, but it's gotta be like rewarding to see, you know, something that was just like a sketch on a note card become something that's, you know, actually like a finished product. Like you're gonna have a polished, like well illustrated game card. Like that, I don't know, I'm not a game designer, but I would think that that's gotta be very rewarding once it's all said and done.
Oh yeah, no, it's been even just like having the most recent like kind of prototype printed, it's just been really wild to me, because with this game we had it at Boston Fig, the Boston Festival of Indie Games, back in 2016 2017, and that was also with like, that was the in-between art that was just like, you know, royalty free stuff mostly that I found online, and so just having like, I don't want to have like a little museum on my desk of like, this is what it was in the beginning, this is what it was in the middle, and like look at it now.
I didn't know if maybe you were like cutting out like Justin Timberlake photos and like gluing them on like cards, and you know, I'm trying to think of other boy band. I couldn't think of any of the boy band names.
Magazine clippings, just thumbtacked to the wall.
I remember those from back in the old days. When I worked at
you used to like clip boy band and hang them on your wall, Jason?
I used to be responsible for all the magazines in a grocery store. We had this huge wall of magazines, and there was Tiger Beat and Teen Beat and like Pop, whatever the heck. Like, and I would always have to be the guy at the end of the week who was ripping off the covers to send them back to the distributors. And I just be like this is just, it's painful. Just looking at these kids all the time, just like, oh, just get away.
I did that for a Walden Books. Like all those like weird oversized soft cover books they would put out that were just like boy band books. Yeah. I had to sit there and like rip the covers off.
Just send them back. Yeah.
So Banana, well, you want to talk a little bit about the Kickstarter pledge levels and what folks can pledge for because you've got some really great pledge levels, and I think one thing that I really like about this Kickstarter is that you've got a nice game and it's affordable, which I think is really really a big draw right now, especially with everything that's going on. We all kind of, you know, our budgets are kind of tight, so I like the fact that you're putting out a even though it's a you know, I don't want to call it a small project, it's a small in as far as the pledge level are concerned. Like you're not having to put like hundreds and hundreds of dollars out, which a lot of, you know.
Yeah.
And
even so to Canada, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's all in for me is $62. That's amazing. Shipped.
Aww.
Like that's ridiculous. That never happens.
Yeah, we try to make our games affordable in general. Like through Game and a Curry, all of our games are small box games. So we try to keep, you know, everything relatively accessible, relatively, you know, cheap when people want to purchase our games. For Battle of the Boy Bands, we also made a pledge level that was $15 for people who can't, it's called Can't Make the Concert. So that's the pledge level for people who are, you know, not in the best financial place right now because of, you know, COVID or, you know, what have you. So we have that. Unfortunately, the reward is no longer available because everyone snatched that up. But generally speaking, the game is $25 through Kickstarter. So that's just the general admission pledge level. The VIP package is $30 and you get a lanyard, a pack of buttons of your choice. And the game, of course.
Wait, do we get to pick the buttons from the band we want?
From the genre you want.
Because I'm a big fan of the futuristic guys.
So you can get a pack of the futuristic guys.
Sweet.
So you get a pack of four. Yeah. And there are five different genres. Cleo can tell you more about that. But yeah, our backers have made this larger than life and worked really hard on this, you know, trying to get, you know, more stretch levels, stretch goals up. Our first stretch goal we've already hit, and you know, we have a new kid on the block now. His name is Farad, and we've been working with Renmu on it, getting the art done. Cleo's been like doing all of the, you know, back and forth with her, trying to get the look down, and I'm really excited for him.
Definitely our most extra card, I think.
Oh, extra. Oh my god.
Like there were times when I was writing the description and I'm like second guessing myself. I'm like, is this too much? And I remember what the game was and I was like, no, nothing's too much.
How big is the box? Like when we get the finished product, if we like say we got the VIP package.
So the cards are tarot sized. And the box itself is going to be a little bit bigger than our regular size box. Ooh. So it's probably gonna be like that big.
So the cards are gonna be like slightly elongated then. And like sort of taller and skinnier. That's cool. Yeah. I like that. I like off-sized games for stuff like that.
Yeah. And also, and Cleo can expand on this, but the reason for that was just so that you can see the art better because, you know, the regular card size would not do the art justice.
Yeah.
I got to say too, I've been paying close attention to what Banana and Cleo have been saying just to see if they said some music titles this whole time.
Just in case.
See if they get some points right there.
Well, make sure to, you know, motion if you do make a, because I'm trying to keep track, and I'm sure there's been some that have gone over my head, just because, you know, I don't know all of the.
For all you know, or every word out of my mouth has been an obscure.
Yeah, it's pretty much that is.
If it's not Jonas Brothers, Doug doesn't know it.
Yeah, I'm telling you that I love me some Jonas, some Joe Bros.
You're tearing up my heart, Doug.
Yes.
But Cleo can talk more about the BTS stuff. So
yeah, go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about that then.
BTS or behind the scenes BTS?
Behind the scenes BTS.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
It works. It works.
Yeah, it does work. That's another point for Banana.
Yes. But yeah, you mentioned the tarot sides card, but yeah, we wanted we experimented with different things, and ultimately we just wanted to find the best way to show off the art. And our, you know, we worked with the graphic designer Nick Avalone, and he also like helped us to find the best way to kind of show off everything and make everything as clear as possible. And that's how the cards ended up as they are, is just trying to make sure that you can behold the boys in all their glory.
Nice.
I mean, that's what makes it beautiful. So.
Oh god. Oh my god. I can't compete.
I don't know.
Totally inconsolable.
Yeah. It's an SOS moment.
Oh dang god. I had that one.
I know. In a world like this, everybody's got something to say.
Oh man. So
Doug's regretting even making this.
I am already. I don't know.
Wait, what, Doug, you know us. Why would you even?
I don't even know what I was thinking when I thought of this idea. I thought
this is a great idea.
This will be a great idea for a 50th episode, and well, it'll be fun, and it won't be ridiculous at all. And
he completely forgets who we are.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's just the way we roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time.
Anyway. So Ben, you said that that your store is backing this at a retail level. Do you?
Yeah, we are in on the manager pledge level, so we're excited to bring this in. We've got we're located in a college town, so the theming of this game will work perfectly with our demographic in both the boy bands and the Take That, because a lot of the college kids like to screw over their neighbors, so this will work well.
Nice.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Rob, do you have any questions that you look very studious right there. He's looking very like
He's looking at boy band song titles.
I have it up on my screen, but I just I gave up. Now Ben has
Ben's taking this thing over. So
no, I don't really have any questions. I will say though, and I didn't get the chance to interject, I love the fact that these are going to be tarot sized cards.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either until now.
I know it's a size that I've always loved. Even my one crappy game I put out used tarot sized cards. I love the feeling of those in my hands. You've got some tarot cards, right? Yeah, forget it.
Plus, if you're gonna have like actual boy band members like displayed, you don't want them on little tiny cards. Long, like laid out on
yeah, the... Doug. Yeah, you want those.
Never mind. This is not
and
how...
laid out. And...
I also have some of the buttons here that I can show off. Ooh, so cool. If you're interested in getting these buttons, that's the size that they're going to be. I think they're one and a quarter. So that's one. There's Bobby. He's one of my favorites.
Everyone loves Bobby.
I love Bobby so much. They also have backstories that Cleo.
So like how are you going to integrate that into the game as well? Like all these backstories that you have for all these boy band members, or how is this?
So a lot of it was just like, you know, when you start to kind of like lose your mind when you're designing a game.
No, see, I don't know what that's like at all. Cause I'm here on this podcast every week with these knuckleheads.
He knows that's like, to
I have no idea what it's like to lose your mind.
So like you have to do things to keep yourself entertained and to like laugh when things are frustrating. And so like during those moments, we just kind of ended up coming up with random backstory things for all the boys. And part of it is also that like they do have some concrete details about them. Cause I did some research into like what countries have like the highest number of K-pop fans. And then I made sure there are boys from like those demographics in the cards. But then a lot of the backstory ends up being from, and this is not, you know, it's a card game. It's not a RPG. It's not a story game.
Right.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Somehow, every single time I've run it for people at a convention or at a party or what have you, it's turned into a story game because everybody comes up with even people who sit down, they're like, I don't do that. Because I'll explain like, oh, this is the thing that happens. And they'll sit down and be like, no, I don't do that. But by the end of the game, somehow there's somebody who does that. But I think it's because the art is like, our illustrator was just so good at making the boys look really, very expressive and like so over the top and like very much like the emo boys look so angsty and the rebellious boys are all, you know, they all
just
look.
Just looking at the, looking briefly at the Kickstarter art, I was just like, yeah, these, you wouldn't even need to put the title underneath that. And I would have been able to pick probably 75% of these guys.
Yeah.
And what genre they go with.
But people, yeah, so people come up with, just as they're playing, these just really, it's like a soap opera level of drama of like why this boy is leaving the band, like why his career is over now, like why they're sending an agent to poach this boy from another person, why they're sending like a shady character to target this one boy, like he just shines too brightly.
And he gets a solo career.
Yeah. People just like, they get, and sometimes that sticks. Like just in my head, and that becomes canon for me at least.
That would be a good sabotage card, the solo career. Lose one boy.
So I wanted to get back to the tarot side card, tarot size cards. So how much of that was this a graphic design, how much of that was a budget decision, how much of that was, because I'm curious, because you look at it from the perspective of, because you have the cards, having them the size of, you know, like your trading cards is very similar to, you know, like baseball cards or stats and all that kind of stuff. How much of that was deliberate, and what was the reason behind it based off of, say, what we are, what your core audience would like about that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So part of it was that we, in the, I guess like the middle iteration of the game, the cards were more like baseball size cards, and you know it didn't not work, but it didn't feel as oddly, the index cards somehow kind of felt better. They felt better to play. And even though it was my terrible artwork, there was still a nice element to be able to see it as in kind of that size, and really be able to tell what the card was signaling just by a glance, instead of having to kind of pick it up and look at it very closely. And especially because, like, if you're at a con and you're at a big table, or if you're playing anywhere, I guess, that has a big table, you don't want to have to crane over people to see what's happening in their hand. And this is a game where it's important to see everybody's lineup of boys. And so I think because we noticed that wasn't working in that middle iteration of the game, that people did kind of want to be able to see things more clearly, that's when we headed in the tarot direction. And as soon as we started experimenting with that, it just was very obvious right away that was the right decision.
So it kind of adds to, like, basically part of like the spectator aspect of the game as well.
Yeah.
I have a question about the rules. Mm-hmm. It says that you can have five boys in your band at a time and no more, but they can be replaced. So can you mix and match genres, or are there more than five boys for each type?
You can mix and match genres. Gosh, my word.
So you could go emo futuristic.
Oh yeah.
I was just gonna say the same thing. I want like emo robot.
Like Eeyore, a robot.
Well, yeah. So I mean, you could have someone who's sporty, someone who's like a baby, somebody who is pretty all working together.
That's cool. I was wondering that, because I was thinking about it from a replayability standpoint. And like, I mean, if you like playing the futuristic boys, which I definitely will be playing, you would need some sort of variety to be able to, you know, play again kind of thing, even though like the different event cards and that sort of thing can change the way the game plays. But that's kind of cool that you can get boys from other bands.
Yeah.
You can like it's like corporate espionage sort of.
So you draft the boys to start out with?
So yeah, it starts with drafting, and you're drafting boys and then also the breaking news cards simultaneously. And the breaking news cards are the things like the perks. So a good example of a perk would be like there's a signature scent that you can attach to a boy. And that just gives him extra points. And then he also has a signature scent that he's selling. And so that's like a good example of a perk card, but then there's like attack cards, like there's a shady character who you can send to stage an accident for somebody else's boy band member.
I like that there's a Men in Black card. That was cool.
To go after the futuristic boys. Yeah, every image type, every genre of boy has one card that will just like basically wipe them out, and it's targeted towards that type. So there's like vampire hunters too for the supernatural boys, and a hair dye shortage for the emo boys.
That's awesome.
Are these the rules that you've got for download? Are those the final rules? Is that the
are they still being no? So those are still being edited. Those are it's just what we have so far, but the edited version, we'll keep updating it, we'll keep changing the link, and then eventually we'll have the final version up.
Are you expecting it to be like around about the same page count? Like it's only 8 pages right now?
Oh yeah, it's pretty short.
That's cool. I like that. That's a way easy to learn game then. There's none of this, you know, 17 page rule book or like Ben was talking about earlier in the week, trying to read the rules for the Lord of the Rings game. Little tiny booklet that comes on the size of a playing card. And you're just like micro font trying to read it.
Yeah, it's super, super short. And it's really easy to learn.
Nice. How long is a typical game of Battle of the Boy Bands?
Usually somewhere between, again, it depends on like how much people are getting into the storytelling aspect, because it will draw on if people are like coming up with.
I would be novels. That guy. I'd be that guy telling the story about why the card that I just played is doing this thing.
But yeah, generally it's somewhere between 45 and 60 minutes.
Oh, well, it's not bad. It's a good.
I've had a game length. That went on for like an hour and a half from storytelling.
That's awesome.
There's still there a good lot. Length though. Like yeah. You could still play two or three games in an evening, easy. Mm-hmm.
There is a lot. I mean we were kind of like, you know, half joking before we went on the air of talking about, but there's so many expansion pack potential here with different music genres.
Oh yeah,
that was one of my one of the questions I was gonna ask is, are there any types of boys that you've had to cut that in this process that of development?
This is very controversial.
So
controversial. Okay. I'm glad I asked it now.
So originally there was one additional image type, and then there was one. So talent types are another thing that applies to every boy. So they can be a singer, a rapper, a dancer, or a hottie. And hottie meaning they're like they're there to be the face. They look good.
Basically, the Jason Hunt of well, the day.
Yeah, they're there to wander around with their shirt weirdly unbuttoned at all times.
Yeah, they're like they're the what the face on the calendars and all that, right? But there used to be also cuties, because that at one point that distinction felt. And I have a design partner for other projects I've worked on, Sharang Biswas, and he always talks about like, how dare you cut the cuties? Because like in some bands it is like a very big distinction of like, this guy's role is that he's the hot one, like that's his thing. This one is that he's cute right. And he's like he's boyish and you want to take care of him, and like that's his role. And like it just became another person who was working on the game with us was just like, this is a little bit redundant, we don't need this, and you're gonna need more art. And then in addition to that, in addition to emo boys, there were also angsty boys, because that felt like somewhere there was a line between angsty and emo that was important at one point.
Yeah.
But then again, it was just like, we don't need this. We have
but it is between it is expansion potential then.
It's funny also because I forgot about the angsty boys up until fairly recently, and I was just like, oh my god, they must be really angsty that they got cut now.
You could have so much. Like, I'm just thinking expansion packs for like 90s music, where you have, you know, flannel and then surf music, you know, the No Doubt. And
or you could bring out Menudo.
No Doubt versus Nirvana. Oh,
that was the one band that I really remembered actually from when I was a
Menudo is like a an teenager. Old band that just constantly
they
like
just they keep swapping in people and going and going and going and going. Like, it's amazing.
Well, here's the thing, like you can do like boy bands have been like even like the Jackson 5 like was a boy band. Like like it's when we're talking about boy bands, like the Monkees, they were a boy band, you know. It's like
the Beatles,
you know, exactly. You know, it's not like it was
the Beach Boys kind of like a boy band.
Yeah, the Beach Boys. So they have the word "boy" in the name.
Proof. That's good indicator. Good indicator. Yeah.
I'm interested to see.
I'm sorry. They're the Beach Men now. You know.
I'm interested to see how much of your headcanon from like these games at conventions actually makes it into expansions, like.
now that these stories are kind of stuck in your head, like this has become an actual part of the game.
So my dream expansion, I've been talking about this since like the very beginning, is to do like a metal, like a battle of the metal bands, because that is, I was a metalhead growing up.
That would be cool.
First, and then boy bands came later for me. but like to have like the black metal band and like the synth metal and the symphonic metal band.
There's so many different genres for metal now.
Yeah.
Like that, what is it? Like the Scandinavian death metal band?
Death metal, yeah.
You've got that, like the operatic metal.
Oh, yeah.
They have like these insane opera lead singers.
I had a vocal coach who was one of those singers.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it's like a whole, like, and given like that's a little bit more niche potentially. I mean, because you could also have like hair, like classic things like hair metal, right? Or like,
oh, yeah.
Even, like new metal and like mall rock. I don't know. You could probably integrate in there.
So, I mean, this isn't going to really help very much for the people listening, but I will, if anybody hasn't seen this yet, I'm going to link in the Zoom chat, a Mongolian death metal song, which is awesome.
That band, I saw a YouTube video a while back. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're called No Joke. They were so cool.
It's called The Who, but H-U, not like.
Oh, yeah. They're so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, and is anybody, there was the, there's that Indian metal band. They're a bunch of like goofy guys and they take like classical Indian music and make it metal. They did that song, Tunak Tunak, a while ago. If you haven't seen it, it's really good.
It went viral for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys are awesome, but they're also just like goofy as all get out and it's amazing.
I've noticed one thing with like when it comes to metal bands, especially, is when they're not performing, they are silly people.
Yeah,
almost universally.
I think you kind of have to be.
Yeah, they're just wildly silly people. Like even I watched a documentary on the guys that did Gwar.
Oh yeah,
and they're the goofiest bunch of people you've ever seen.
My friends went to a Gwar
con last year in Vegas. Yeah. Came back just drenched in fake blood.
You're supposed to show up in there wearing just a white t-shirt because then they basically tie-dye it for you.
Yeah, that's what I did. I went to Gwar twice and you have to wear white because the carnage just is amazing.
That is your souvenir. You don't need to buy something. You just were wearing it home.
Just brings back memories of Empire Records. Mark, you're an excellent guitarist, but you must die. And then they eat him.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about Battle of the Boy Bands again.
Doug so is here, like, what happened?
Where did our show go? I have no idea. So, Cleo, my question for you is, since you've realized that this game has a very strong storytelling factor, have you thought about doing a Battle of the Boy Bands RPG?
So there is actually something that is in the works. It's not a Battle of the Boy Bands RPG, but it's called, the working title is Incarnate, and it is a K-pop powered by the apocalypse / Korean folklore game.
Nice.
That's very much still like in the works, but it's with Daniel Kwan and Vicky Ho, who was also design partner on this. And I'm really excited about it. But it's definitely like COVID is definitely kind of put a delay
in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because everything's kind of slowed down. But we were supposed to originally play test it for the first time at Breakout Con up in Toronto. But obviously that did not come to pass. So hopefully we'll find like a new path for it, but it's still definitely in the works. It's just kind of an uncertain, as with so many things right now, its future is a little bit uncertain, just the timing of it all.
Sure.
Yeah. We also got a LARP that's boy band themes, though. And that's free. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool, that was the long drive back from Busan, and that was a Golden Cobra Challenge winner in 2017, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 2017.
And that one's about a K-pop group that's just like totally falling apart, and you're going to this one music festival trying to salvage your careers and just like make a great comeback, and if you don't, then your career is just basically over. So it's a little bit heavier than Battle of the Boy Bands is definitely kind of more on the lighthearted, cheerful, lighter, silly side.
Fluffier game.
This one is, I mean, but both definitely do touch on some of the problems in the industry. Like while Battle of the Boy Bands is definitely much more kind of comedic and light and fluffy, there are hints at some of the kind of heavier stuff that goes on, the more problematic stuff in the industry. Well, the LARP just like full on dives headfirst into that.
Ben, do you have anything that you'd like to add here? You've been kind of quiet up until I mean, I know we've been giving you a hard time about the boy band puns, but we still want you to be a part of the session. Yeah,
I really appreciate the way that, you know, the game really comes together. And it's really made my du jour.
But you had to open this door, didn't you?
I
wanted to make sure that Ben, you know, won by a landslide. That's why.
Are you saying you want it that way?
So that's basically
that one was already made.
Cool it now.
But no, I'm really looking forward to getting this into my store. So it looks really cool. And
I don't normally go for games like this, but this looks really fun. Like,
yeah,
this is not my kind of game, but I like the idea of it. And like I said, having grown up with like magazines like Teen Beat and Tiger Beat and all that crap,
he went from working in the grocery store with these magazines to having grown up with them.
I was exposed to them constantly because my desk was literally right next to the darn magazine rack. So I was always reading the headlines on them. And I completely understand how this would be a perfect game, like just a perfect little quick game. Like, it would be hilarious to play.
It is super goofy, I will say.
And like, I know a lot of my coworkers are moms just a few years younger than I am. So they were like target audience for boy band stuff. So I will have to bring this to work and I will infect the entire department.
That's not a good term to use considering you work in a medical facility.
Yeah. 'Cause I work in a hospital doesn't mean that I can't infect people with things. Good things.
Joy.
Yes, with joy. Infect
them with joy.
I will infect them with joy.
Not COVID, joy.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to tell folks if you are interested in everything that we've been talking about, go check out the Kickstarter. I will put a link in the description of this video, and I will also put a link in the description of the podcast, so feel free to go check it out. If folks want to know more about Cleo, where should they go?
You can pretty much find me anywhere on the internet as at CYS Davis. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, all that good stuff.
Nice. And if folks want to know more about Game and a Curry and Banana Chan, where should they go on the interwebs?
You can find us at Game and a Curry on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can find me personally at Banana Chan Games on Twitter, Instagram, also Facebook.
Excellent.
I have an unrelated question for Banana. What's the cover image on your Twitter?
The cover image on my Twitter. That's
kind of like undead or something.
That is our second Kickstarter of this year for Jiangxi Blood in the Banquet Hall, which is a tabletop role-playing game where players are taking on the roles of a Chinese family running a restaurant in the 1920s in Chinatown. In the daytime, they're faced with like stress with dealing with the restaurant, and at nighttime, hopping vampires come out and attack everyone.
No. That's awesome.
That sounds awesome.
When do you expect that on Kickstarter? Do you have a time frame for that?
Yes. So I'm co-designing it with Senfun Lim, and we're co-publishing it with Wet Ink Games, and it's going to be on Kickstarter July 14th.
Oh, nice. Excellent. So everyone be on the lookout for that here in the middle of July. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Chaotic Goodcast. It was chaotic, but it was so good. I want to thank everyone that tuned in, watched, and also that downloaded this on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to it. We really appreciate it. I want to thank all of my casters, and I want to thank Cleo and Banana for joining us for our 50th episode of this series. All right. It was chaotic, but it was so good. We'll see you next week. All right, Ben, you won. Are you ready for your winning?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You have to sing us out.
Oh, I've got to sing.
In the style of a boy band.
I thought we were getting some Doug Jonas Brothers song.
No, you won this week, man. That's your winning. Have to sing the pant. You have to.
I got it.
Here you go.
I like how I won, and I've got to be.
It's not the fact that you won. It basically means we all lost. So that means
yeah, it's basically. Right. Sing a pants. A song about pants.
Pants.
In the style of a boy band.
It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Right.
That's what you get to win.
Let's see. The way the hem feels so nice over my sneakers. The hem feels so nice over my schlaces.
That's what you get. I actually think I died a little inside just now.
Oh, yikes.
Bye.
I hope bananas still want to come back even after that. I apologize. Thanks so much, everyone.